another six members in order for us to have a quorum to adopt the document. Can we then adopt the minutes? The minutes of October the 26th of October, Friday the 21st of November, and sorry, it's not in order, then Friday the 9th of November.
The question of this before, within the CCMA, has also been made more easier with the CONR provision and many of the others that have responded to some of the concerns that businesses have raised. There are mechanisms in the law that the businesses must apply, and then we must evaluate them. But the problem is that businesses are not taking up the exemption mechanism, but continue what can only be seen as an ideological war against the question of labor market legislation. They'd really like to see us have the same kind of legislative environment as they have in China, where workers don't have rights. Now, that's not the kind of society we want to build. Even if we were to try and exploit workers anymore, we'd never compete with the level of exploitation in China and never be able to outstrike the price of labor there. But that's not the kind of society we want to build. Wages is a key part of redistribution within the society. But, Chair, I think from our side, besides saying that the department's done a great job, we'd like to see in those very specific defined areas that we find a way in which we can work more closely together and send a common message in the society so that you don't have this common refrain of contesting what the architecture is. Other side of those more general points, we'd also like to take up the offer of the committee to make more detailed submissions to you on the provisions of the report, and we'll submit that in the next few days for your attention, and you can no doubt circulate it to the ministers, to all the members of the committee. But we're thankful for the opportunity to engage with you and raise what we think are fundamental questions for our members. If we don't get it right on these issues, there's going to be a fight in the economy, and there's going to be more destabilization that comes about because of that. We would be unable to, as we start to see, any further undermining of the legislative environment that provides workers with protection. And sometimes our only way to defend that is by taking protest action. We think we have an opportunity now to firstly find common purpose on what are the broader values and objectives we want to achieve, and then to define the architecture and the regulations and laws to achieve them. But any moves outside of that, I think, is going to be very difficult for labor as a whole in the country to accept given the deepening levels of unemployment and poverty. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr.
A person will actually think that there's nothing that is actually happening, because, I mean, the minutes, they're not details. They're just points and end of the story. Now, remember, these things, they go into the archives of the institution. Now, what happens when my great-grandchild picks up these minutes one day and say, ooh, granny, you were in that meeting on that day, but you guys just put bullet points. You are not unpacking what it is that you are saying about the establishment of funds for people with disabilities. You know, 15,000 youth completed national research program and project management program. Full stop. Well, we're not saying anything. It's just bullet points, Jefferson. And then also on recommendations, it just says the committee made the following. The youth targeted by Interval Youth Fund and achievement is reflected in annual report. The trend motor, blah, blah, blah. I can go on and on. So we need to have consistency in our minutes. So that then a person who may be able to pick up this document must understand what it is that they're talking about in the meeting. Not just bullet points and end of the story. Not just three words. And that's it.
Melissa, do you want to respond to that?
No, she won't.
So I want Melissa to speak to the committee section. All the years I've been, the format of the minutes was always like this. And I would like this to be a detail. And I admit myself, I have been following the format that we've always been carrying on from the committee station. But if I want the details in it, I go to the PNG website. And I think Elisha needs to take it up with the committee section, how minutes are supposed to be written and done properly. But yet I've always been seeing it being bulleted and it's always been like it. So I don't know if other members would like to comment on the bullet, on the format. Okay, Honourable Faith, your point has been taken and we will ask committee clerk to take this further with the committee picture. Thank you. Can I leave the minutes until we get a quorum for approval? There's no other comments on the minutes. The annual report will also be adopted today. That will be our annual report of the JNC for 2007. Are there any changes Honourable Members would like to make? Honourable Faith?
Yeah. No, Chairperson, I'm concerned about in the report, I think Chairperson's comment or view, there was that section there.
Mm-hmm.
You only touched a bit about the concern of members, not your committee suffering because of not having a quorum. But you did not like elaborate it. You know, it needs to be a challenge that is a standalone. And Chairperson, you must also reflect that it's only the ANC that attends the meeting. The other minority parties, they don't attend. And I also picked up on the oversight visit to not, something that was happening in Johannesburg in October. I noticed that opposition members were there.
Yes, the airport.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Not even the airport. There's one, I think the Chairperson went, and one member from ISP, and one member from, not that airport, something else, another organization. So my concern is that when it comes to catching the aeroplane and going somewhere, they are available. But when it comes to attending these meetings on Friday, they don't attend. It's only us as ANC who keep on sitting in these meetings every Friday and ensuring that work continues, but members of the opposition do not attend. If that can be raised as a standalone challenge, Jefferson, it must reflect in the report that it is only members of the ANC that actually attend. I think in that overall visit went also with Member Chama, which was the first Member Chama, and there are about two, not three opposition members that were part of that delegation. So that must be raised. Thank you.
So, thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Gamedi, I saw your hand. Nothing from your side, okay. Any other Honourable Members that wish to comment on the annual report? So everything is in order regarding the report. We will make those additions what Honourable Faith has just mentioned. And with those additions regarding the attendance of the opposition, and then we will also then emphasize the Friday changes that we do have. With those amendments, will be added. And then we currently have 7 members. We need 4 members order to do these documents, the minutes and the annual report as well. If there's no addition and comment on the JNC workshop that we had earlier this month, can we also then adopt that document as well, our strategic planning document? There's just one thing I need to make sure Honourable McCarthy's name is not mentioned here. She did attend that workshop. Please add her name to this document. Do we need to go through this workshop document? Honourable Members, do you want this for another time to be approved, or do you still want to go through this document? No indication.
Mm-hmm.
The JNC workshop, the report on our strategic planning workshop. Can we adopt it in today with that one amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Can someone assist me to go and assist me in looking for other members in order for us to have a quorum then to adopt the minutes of the report?
The teacher of the week.
She is busy doing that.
Is the duty of the
week. Four members.
I left him in that meeting and come away.
While we wait, there's a few announcements. I believe that the final document has been circulated. Why do we need the child justice law? This is in preparation for our oversight visit on Friday. Please go through this document. This is in preparation with 4 Fridays oversight visit, and that will assist us with questions that need to be asked to Paul Small, prison and Bonnytown, the sake of safety. Please make sure that you do have this document that will assist you with your preparations, and please contact the police well if you do need transport to Portsmore Prison as well as Bonnytown. We need to be at Portsmore Prison at 8:30 so that we can utilize the maximum time to our disposal at Portsmore Prison. So please inform the lecturer if you need transport. I was told by the committee section that some committees already made visits to Portsmore Prison, and we will use their report. And other committees have been visiting, and they have not worked with the JMC to bring their report to the JMC that we can discuss their report. So we haven't done that, and they have also not done it. So in order for us to give an input to the child justice bill, we need to go and have to go and visit them ourselves. So I would really like for us then to go and attend and do an oversight and that we monitor the things so that we as the JMC also make these visits. We're not going to be overlapped. We as the JMC need to have an input there. So we haven't received those committees' reports in order to assist us, and I think it was Correctional Services and Department of in the Portfolio Ministry of Social Development. And those reports will be distributed to you, and that we ourselves as the JMC do a visit to monitor them to your entity. Thank you.
I'm thinking, I want to propose that whilst we're waiting for the week to organize the member for the adoption, I'm sure they will be doing a presentation in Paracal 4. And it was my difficult task. So that when they've arrived and they indicate that just a 10 seconds or something like that.
And Benny, don't you mind to be interrupted with your presentation if we have all the members here in order to adopt those documents? I would really hate to interrupt you, but if you don't mind, then that would be fine. And then we will inform you that with the members are present, then we will do the induction and then we can continue to take a question. Are you okay with that?
the elephant.
Thank you, Benny.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to this meeting. We really missed you on Friday, but we're looking forward to your report. We have in front of us two documents which Amy will talk to. On Friday, we asked the other three entities only to address us on the state of the nation address, as well as in your strategic plan for the rest of 2008. I know some of you met that you around that time of the our workshop, you had your strategic planning sessions as well. So the others would not give us time frame, but hopefully the OSCQ will assist us with time frame regarding the strategic planning session, but that would be the most important topic to be covered for this session. We have a really tight schedule for this year, so that's why we would rather to cover the state of the nation bit as well as the strategic planning document as well. Over to you, Benny. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Honourable members, there are two documents. They are actually the same document. What we've done, we've got a narrative document and a slide document. So you could either use both, I mean, for the references, for notes, and so forth. But the content is exactly the same. The document is divided into two sections, as the Honorable Chair has indicated. The first part relates to the 24 exact priorities of the State of the Nation Address, and the second part relates to the strategic plan of the OSCQ. But in particular, what we've done, we make sure that we pinpoint the exact activities that we are going to embark upon from the 1st of April 2008 to the 31st of March 2009. Also with an understanding that we are finishing the work that we present to you. Our time frame is quite tight as well. We want to finish by the 31st of March next year. Our planning scenario on the Russia is 20 years. So that tells you that within the advent of the policy framework, we are going to work within 20 years up to 2025 to implement policy. We understand that, of course, there are no limits to implementation of policy, but we put the scenario planning just so that we are able to time ourselves correctly towards 2025. When you look at the document, you will see that what we've done, we've condensed the 24 priorities into 8 categories. Because all of them cover, all those categories cover the apex priorities. The main focus is on the issue of economic transformation. We are looking at programs around the economic transformation that will include economic empowerment of persons with disabilities, the issue of interventions of the second economy through the SME development program. The reason why we put economic transformation under one section is because we wanted to separate the two. We have economic transformation as a theme. We would also have social security as a separate thing with regard to the standard. So one of the things we would then do is to ensure that under economic transformation we deal with the issue of development and growth.
Sorry, Dean, I had to interrupt you right here. As I said at the beginning of your presentation, so because we're honorable members here, honorable members, I do want to thank you for taking the time out to come and assist us. Before I ask the adoption of these minutes, the these are the minutes that you have in front of you, members. It is the 26th of October, it is the 9th of November, it is the 15th of November, and it is the 21st of November, members. So if there is no additions, there will be a collection made, to be made, can we then adopt these minutes, please, members? Anbo Makasi, you are adopting this minute. You and you need a signature, being Anbo Gavi. Thank you very much. Members, then finally, secondly, we have the annual report of the JMC of January the 7th to November the 7th, November 2007. Can we adopt this annual report as well? Can we have, we got Anbo Gavi and then Anbo Anbo to think of that. Thank you, members. Then thirdly, we have the report on the strategic workshop that we had at the beginning of the year, in February 2008, honorable members. You've got this in front of you, and you've got an adoption by honorable Andrew and honorable Elizabeth has seconded. So honorable members, thank you very much for taking the time out and helping us, assisting us with the adoption of these minutes. Thank you, members, minutes and reports are adopted. Members of the committee, we have not been adjourned yet, but the other members are allowed to leave, so if you ask Mr. Benny, Honorable Benny, Benny, if you can continue with your presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Jenny.
I was actually saying that the scenario planning has directed our strategic plan to be up to 2025. And so the reason why we divided the plan into 8 categories is precisely to capture all the principal economic priorities, as I said, and that's what the OSDP would be doing. If you look at that section, we have categorically said, for example, the economic transformation would then cover issues around economic empowerment and so forth. The issue of social security, for example, would cover issues basically on the anti-poverty strategy. And also we've got issues around crime prevention and access to justice. We started that process already, members would see in our activities. We would like to finalize the National Security Framework within this year. And it's one of our major focuses. We also would like to look at the implementation plan of the UN Convention, as members would know that we've already ratified the convention. And so we would like to now implement this plan. We are looking at doing it through capacity building. The comparison within the activity would indicate that we're doing that through some D and other government agencies that we are assisting the officials in that regard. In terms of coordination, we're looking at as members would know that there has been a call to to review the machinery, NGM, the National Gender Machinery, the National Disability Machinery, and so forth. We are following that process. In case of disability, we are strengthening the National Disability Machinery by calling for more participation of members of different institutions. It could be traditional leaders, it could be religious leaders, and so forth. Business, labor, government. So we are strengthening the machinery in that regard. We are also looking at it, as I said, economic transformation, but also, on the other hand, we're looking at the issue of development apart from the transformation, development of growth with regards to how people with disabilities can participate in the economic sphere of our country. One of the things we're also doing, we're looking at the at working at a very conceptual manner. For example, we would work through three spheres of government, national, local, and provincial government. We working together with SALGA and DPLG in that regard, the Department of Provincial and Local Government. The second part of the document refers particularly to the activities of the OSDP in terms of the strategy plan itself. Now, we have just completed the process of operational plans in the presidency. And as we speak right now, we are now going into the strategy planning sessions of the branches. The activities that are listed there, is as a result, is the outcome of the strategic planning session that we had about a week ago. And these are the activities that would guide the work of the OSDP. As I said, one of the things that were included in these activities are quite clearly the implementation plan of the UN Convention, the National Disability Policy Framework, but also what we've done is to ensure that we factor in the programs at the strategic plan of the presidency. Now, the issue around, for example, I'm going to speak to those particular objectives, as you can see them under the strategic plan with the activities. Just to give you an example, on monitoring and evaluation, we would work within the milieu of the government-wide monitoring and evaluation system. We are going to develop disability indicators, but also factor them into the current existing 27 indicators of the development index of government. We're looking at issues around, for example, coordination. With regard to coordination, we are going to look at, as I said, the operation of the National Disability Machinery. But apart from that, Honorable Chair, we also have the current existing Intergovernmental Committee on Disability and the Interprovincial Forum, which is composed of the provincial OSDPs. Chair, we would like to merge the two. We're not sure if it's going to work. But we are going to test it and see if it works. We would like to merge the Intergovernmental Committee and the provincial offices to come into one meeting quarterly. Of course, there will be difficulties in the beginning because we haven't been doing this. We've been asking them to come to the national office separately. So we'll see if that allows us to do so. We are still seeking legal advice in Africa to just to see whether it's mandatory or not. If not, then we will have to consider our options. With regard to the issue around the for example the capacity building program. We are going to, if you look at the activities, you will see that we are going to work with Zambi to empower government officials, basically, because firstly we would like to train them on policy framework, really, on implementation of policy, on the implementation of the UN Convention that we would like to do something, random something, Chair, because we, you see, for example, we cannot cover, you know, 27 departments, 9 provinces, and 218 municipalities. We cannot do that. So what we'll do is through something, random sampling of departments, random sampling of provinces, and then we'll also do the random sampling for the local government. We are going to be working with Saudat, DPLG, and Sambi on the program, also because they've been quite useful in terms of the training programs that they have. Can we also decided to work within the scope of the integrated national disability strategy? The reason being that we do not want to dissuade much from this white paper as it stands right now. What we would do is that once the national disability policy framework is approved by cabinet, by this year in July, this coming financial year, we will then implement that framework as an official policy of government. But also just to make it clear to honorable members that the national disability policy framework does not necessarily replace the integrated national disability strategy. It qualifies the strategy, but it also assists the government to implement the convention. Remember that we need to submit our first report to the United Nations in 2 years' time from now. So the reason why we were forward planning in that manner is precisely to meet the deadline of the United Nations in 2010. So that's when we need to submit our first report. Okay, the activities that you see basically on the presentation here are activities that are going to be happening between now and 2009, but because of the policy unit scenario planning in the presidency, we would then take activities from 2008 to 2009 into 2009 to 2014. These would be our time frame, the first time frame. Which means that when we implement the NDPS, the National Disability Policy Framework, we would test its strength at the first 5 years of our strategic plan. The second part would be from 2014 to 2019. And the third one would be 2019 to 2025. Now, what we are trying to do here, Chair, is to make sure that the implementation is not disrupted by budgetary constraints and things like that. So we will do this in phases. For example, the policy framework stated clearly that there will be short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. Short-term, medium-term, and long-term plan of implementation of the United Nations Convention. Just finally, I should say that we did not include the budget because the presidency has not yet allocated us the funding. We are still waiting for that to happen in the next week or so. But our original suggestion to the presidency was that we would estimate our expenditure for this year. And this is what we submitted to the ANE target when we did the yearly targets now in January, that would need at least maximum 3 for the 800, just for 2008-2009. We're not sure if we will get the amount that we suggested, but we've done the adjustments, and this is what we came up with. If we do get that amount, I can assure the committee that we will be able to implement all of these activities that we are taking today in front of the honorable members in the committee. The other thing is that we will review this plan as see now, mid-term, so which will be around about September. We will review it here because you see, we need to be sure that we are able to cover all of this. So when we review mid-term in September, we will then resend the review plan, but only on our chair, focusing only on the last part of 2008-09 financial year. So which means it will be from October 2008 to March 2009. That will guide us and also guide the committee to keep track on the development of the work. Chairperson, the process of the policy framework, as I said, is also part of the activity, but we would like, currently in fact we are taking the framework to the standard. And we would like a situation where it's adopted by the cabinet of Hosha in July 2008. At the end of that, Hosha probably would have that adopted. The other option is to go through a normal cabinet room, where we would table it as part of the cabinet minutes. And if it's adopted by cabinet, then we proceed to implement, based on the fact that this is now would be an official policy for the country as such. Let me also conclude by saying that the activities that you see here can be changed according to the priorities. You see what we've done, we've taken the activities and placed them under each APEC priority. We have not done all the 24 because we discovered that some of the APEC priorities are not necessarily relevant to the work of the OSCP. So what we then did was to define the role of the OSCP within each APEC priority and also place them correctly where they are supposed to be. Those priorities will be implemented accordingly in terms of the the allocations that we get from the presidency. So what we would like to then submit to the committee here is we are submitting the response to the State of the Nation address in terms of the 8 categories of the 24 priorities that we classified here. And we are also submitting the activity plan or operational plan or implementation plan of this program and the strategic plan of the OSCP. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Benny. I just need clarity. When you said, I wanted to ask about the INDA, but when you said that the finalizing the National Disability Policy Framework, we are also talking about the INDA, but we wanted to know how far are you with the review of the INDA. I just wanted to make sure how far you were with that. In the policy framework that you are talking about, but then we as JMC need to see if it's in a draft format, we would like to see that document if it is in a draft format, and will that be then possible?
Yes, sir. We currently, as things stand, we moving through the clusters, as I said. Tomorrow we are seeing the governance and administration cluster, and then we'll see the economic cluster next week also. But Yes, indeed, we make it available. We've done the critique of the policy framework. We have also taken into consideration the fact that, you know, we need to pass it through the JMC first before it goes to cabinet. So once we've done the draft, we'll be coming to the JMC. But I mean, I think what we'll do is to send the draft currently so that it's seen by the committee first. While we are still working with the clusters. Within the clusters, we are working with the Director General. We are currently compiling a letter of commitment for all of them to sign. Once they sign, then we are well on track with regard to the framework.
Thank you, Benny. Thank you for clarifying that, and the honourable members. Do you have any questions you want to pose to the director of the OECD? I have one question. You said for the UN Convention for 2010, the deadline for a center report, and then for the reporting to be submitted. We don't know who is in that committee for 2010, but I would like to inform you that the report needs to come to the JMC before it's been sent to the UN, because we as a JMC have been hearing that kind of information needs to come via the JMC before it goes out of the country. And before those kind of reports are being sent to the UN. And this is comments that we receive from other entities as well. So members, do you have any comments or any questions or clarifications?
Honorable Gamelin. Okay, at least these APEC priorities have been called to this unit. But on the strategic plan of what you expect even from the JMC, there is a point that you propose to the JMC to be part of the machinery. Do you think that would be correct? Because the JMC has got to be to do oversight over OECD, and it cannot be part of the machinery. That's one. Two, how exactly would you persuade the acceleration of economic growth and development through this sector and this entity, which is called CHOP, of the OWA? What would be exactly your plan? Or the plan of jobs or COZA that you want to adopt, which we should measure you on.
Thank you, Honorable Kamedi, Honorable Andrew.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the APEC priorities, then some of the phrasing education, one doesn't really see anything relating to challenges around inclusive education. I'm going to spell it out, I think you're very much aware of it, and also the challenges relating to access to finance, specifically for students that are disabled. But that is an area that I think perhaps in the operational plan you will address that to a greater extent.
on health issues, because health is also another major focus area. There's nothing mentioned here with regard to that, with the exception of the challenges with regard to HIV/AIDS. Certainly, one wants to talk about the access to quality healthcare for the person who is disabled, people in general and in particular, but more so also children, disabled children, disabled person. Let me at this point in time arrest my thoughts. With regard to Social Security, you mentioned it then. Is there, do you see OSDP playing any meaningful role in assessing whether the current strategies, I know we talk about, President spoke about the National War Room, and most of the grants are key tools of fighting poverty. Do you think the OSDP has a particular role to, with regard to determine, is this the level of the grant, is it a level that would indeed reduce poverty? Is it possible for a family to live on that grant? Isn't there a need for more rapid upward adjustments and perhaps more than what the Treasury through Comrade Manuel has been through this past couple of years, is the only thing that a special case that we should begin to argue for a more livable ground specifically.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Elizabeth.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, on page 4, as part of the inclusion of disability issues were appropriate and different priorities, page 4, the land and agrarian reform, can you just clarify to us what you mean by this? What are you referring to? Then, in dealing with the different departments, we know that most, if not all of them, haven't met their targets for the percentage of people with disabilities that they are supposed to be employed. When talking to these different departments, what are the obstacles in them not meeting their targets? Can you share with us some of the things they find as obstacles in them not being able to meet their targets and making sure that we have a society that is representative of all the people in our community? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Chong.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to know, and maybe it's been covered, but I don't think so. When we look at the whole issue of crime and various crimes in general, but in particular crimes against people with disabilities, I just wonder if any statistics exist on assessing whether people with disabilities seem to be a targeted group for that very reason, that they are less able than others to defend themselves, that they're a more vulnerable sector of society. And in addition to that, I wondered whether you know what's going on with disabled people in prison, and what kind of facilities or backup or hearing there is for people who commit crimes, whether they are minor or more serious, for people in prison. I know we're going to Carswell Prison on Friday, but it's great to look at this particular sector of society. But I'd just like to know whether there's any particular focus on people who are the victims of crime and who have committed crimes within the disabled sector.
Thank you. Before you answer those questions, in addition to education, I was just looking for it and I found it in the program. The math literacy program. You said disabled people are also participating. I can't find the right now. They're also participating. I don't want people to just to participate. I want to know, are you working with the Department of Education where disabled people also become the trainers in this mass literacy campaign in order to, for people with disabilities also to feel that they are active participants and that they're also they are also then benefiting from this economically and not also not also being trained but also be the trainer. You can answer all those questions, thank you then.
Okay, thank you. The on the issue of statistics on crime, we do not have them currently. I haven't yet seen them, and it's something that we have not thought about in the OECD to maybe research those steps with regards to targeting disabilities in terms of crime. I think it's something that we would do, but we would do it in a manner of research. We would definitely do that. The issue of disabled people in prison, we've been working with the Department of Correctional Services to ensure that prisons are accessible and the method of handling people in correctional centers, you know, people who have disabilities in those centers, should be done in a more human rights focused manner. So we've agreed with the department that this is a problem that they would do, but would assist them in that regard, further to ensure that it's implemented correctly. With regard to the employment target, yes, no, we haven't really met the target. Government employment assistance, in fact, last week at the National Disability Commission, it was suggested by the participants there that they would like to reduce the target to 8%. So that after 2009, the next target would be 8% with a specific country for government. The obstacles, honourable members, are quite interesting. Some of them are saying, but you know, there are certain jobs that people with disabilities can do, and then they, you know, then they end up with a lot of people who are switchboard operators and who are typists and clerks in the department, and also that there's just really the lack of willingness from the HR managers sometimes, you know, just not willing to recruit and employ people with disabilities. They look at it as a test of time kind of thing, you know. But also, we have a problem actually in the public service itself. We've got to make sure that the decisions are friendly for people with disabilities. people sometimes don't have transport to come to work, and then it becomes a problem with the transport officers. Somebody says, but there's no policy in this department to say that we must take you to work, let alone the fact of buying equipment for some disabled employees is still a problem, particularly the speech devices and so on. So what we've done, let's say, is to ask departments to come up with their own policies on transport, on access and so forth. Then what we then do, we critique the policies and assist them and guide them in that regard, so that we readjust to the policies if there are problems. And the other issue I don't remember is the issue that HR managers are quite reluctant to employ or to recommend employment of certain categories of disabilities. If you look at the public service, there are very, very, very few deaf people. Very few. Because then the first thing they will think about is that they want, now they have to employ a sign language interpreter for this person, which they should be. The problem here is that they employ sign language interpreters on contract in the public service. Once the contract is over, the person has to now go. Now, usually you've got a deaf person who works in an office who cannot proceed with their work because then they don't have an interpreter for a week or two while the HR managers are still fixing the contract. So it's a problem that we have to deal with. So these are the types of obstacles that we see, we realize when we meet the department. Hence we've implemented the job access program in the public service, which is still going to go through cabinet. And once cabinet approves the program, we will then bring it back to the JMC for looking at it in terms of the adjustments if they are needed. On the other hand, Chair, you see, the job access program is not actually an OECD program, but we are guiding the process with the Department of Public Service and Administration. With regard to the question on education, yes, what we've done is that if you look at the activities, we included that within two categories. One is on inclusive education itself, but also mathematics campaign, but also the ECD, early childhood development. We included it there through the expanded public work program. And that's how we would like to implement this program. Yes, we have not considered the issue of disabled people becoming trainers themselves. It's acceptable to do that. But what we considered really was to target people with disabilities who need special focus, such as those who need braille and sign language. So that would be our first consideration. But it's a matter that we are willing to consider to get qualified trainers who, of course, will be able to do this way. We should be able to do that simply because you would have people who want to be trained in brain who would feel comfortable being trained by another disabled person. So that's what we are going to consider. The land and agrarian reform. This is the problem that we participate in fully with the Department of Agriculture. What we are doing currently, we have identified places, for example in Limpopo and in the Free State, where the focus is going to be mainly on agriculture. We started already in Limpopo by asking the Department of Agriculture to do soil studies and assist people with disabilities with agricultural data packs and develop the farm. So that is one thing that we are doing quite vehemently. But we've taken two provinces as pilot, Free State and Limpopo. with regard to the issue of economic growth and development, we're looking at the issue of interventions in the second economy. The issue of accelerated growth really guides us to focus our efforts mainly on finding persons with disabilities within the employment sphere of our economy. And we're looking at two things. One is self-employment, and the other one is the formal employment in the formal sector. With regard to the jobs.co.za and the NAP portal, we are assisting government and any other interested person to access CVs of persons with disabilities on the website and the two websites. It's helping them a lot, and we now have almost 15 departments who have registered for this within this website, and they are able to get people to start work. So that's how we seem to hope to assist people with disabilities to participate within the economy of the country. And with regard to the national machinery, yes, we originally asked the JMC to empower the national machinery. I suppose we did it because we view the national disability machinery as a platform for communication, exchange of views, looking at decisions, and also assisting cabinet to make certain decisions when it comes to. But we seem to think that we really have to give the committee a chance to make a decision based on that. My view still remains that if the JMC participates in the national, the monitoring becomes more closer to the OSP, because then we are able to present reports here of the work that the NGN is doing without compromising the quality. Because you would have a member or two who are sitting in the National Disability Missionary playing an oversight role right there within the structure. And as I said, when we look at the machinery, we look at it from a viewpoint that the JMC would play a leading role in terms of the sharing of the machinery as well, just one room, one big room. Because if they are within the coordinating committee, it would be the OSDP, the Mineral Commission, and JMC, as well as the civil society. So that's what we are looking at essentially. We do not know, and we think that is a decision of the committee really to consider being part of the machinery after considering all the opinions and looking at the role that the committee will play within the machinery. There are some preferences available that we just look at the board to the members of the JMC. And I would encourage all the members to have a look at those, maybe have a discussion around it, maybe one of the normal JMC meetings and make a decision based on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Finny. I think you've answered all the questions. I give you two hands, Honorable Elizabeth and Honorable Gamedi. Honorable Elizabeth?
Thank you, Chairperson. Sir, the reason why I asked you to elaborate on the issue on land and agrarian reform, the office on the right of the chance, when they presented to us on Friday, they highlighted an issue that during redistribution and land reform cases, the issues that affect the children are not looked at. As a result, they have a relationship now that they are building with the the Department of Land Affairs to make sure when these redistribution and land reform things are taken care of, there is also an arm that looks at the welfare of the child so that the children are not taken out of school where they are originally from, and when they are moved to another area, when they get there, there is no school and things like that. So I thought maybe you also have a similar program like something like that, that looks into the issues of people with disability when they are moved from one area to another area in cases of land reform and land redistribution.
Thanks, Chair. So, Ben, you would want to see the JMC being the player and the rest at the same time. Would you think it's fascinating?
Yes.
I'm sure that the issue for discussion, even by the JMC. But I would personally, we'll see it when it's discussed in the same issue. The second issue would be the chance of acceleration of economic growth and development. And the third sector, economy, self-employment, and employment in the formal sector. I always have this question. Why do you want to keep people's disabilities in that corner there of sector economy? Why not the first economy? Why don't you just target the first economy and you want to see people with disabilities really in the first economy, being the pillars of today in the first economy?
Thank you, Honourable Members. I see Honourable Andrew.
Yes, Captain, you have said the issue of social security. But I think in the disability sector there have been calls made for the establishment of a dedicated fund that will assist disabled entrepreneurs to access those funds, because current funding vehicles are not actually making it easier for disabled entrepreneurs to actually break out of the chains of the third and the second economy. Now, is there any plans or ideas with regard to taking this particular concern and which of the disability sector are further than?
Thank you, Honourable Andrew. For myself, Penny, the National Disability Machinery, I know where you stand, Penny. And as a committee, we did look at and receive legal advice. And I think I will forward that to you exactly, the exact wording of the legal advice that we need to see. I don't have the papers with us. Because we have an oversight role, like Honourable Garmedia was saying, it's really difficult to be the player and the referee at the same time. When you can object to us in the meetings and disagree with us on the meeting, but then we become players with you on that level. But I will forward to you the legal opinion, and maybe we can take the discussion further within the JMC later. And then secondly, I just want to tell you that the literacy project that we are talking, the math literacy project, we have a guest person who has now become a trainer in that project. We have two of them, in actual fact. With the department now, more of our guest people will become the trainers. And like you said, they will be training the disabled sector. But we don't just want the guest, we want more other disabilities to become the trainers as well. I saw the pamphlets, and the pamphlets are really nice. They're made in Braille. But we will be providing that literacy in Braille. I would like it to be a blind person or someone who is really efficient in Braille to provide that training itself. You talk about the policy, disability policy framework. Has it been costed Now we are going to be working on the implementation of the UN Convention, but you are proposing to the presidency 3.8 million. So, I mean, that is roughly about your work that has been taking place so far in the OSCG. Have you added the implementation of the Disability Convention? Has it been costed, and would it cost more than just the 3.8 million rand? Thanks,
Jenny.
Over to you.
Thank you. When we planned around this policy framework, we looked at different roles that different government departments would play. And obviously, because the OSCG does not implement policy, we then left that to departments. We would serve to coordinate the work of the government departments that are going to implement the policy. The costing of 3.8 million really was just the work for this year, for this current financial year, 2008-09, only for that year. Obviously, we would then look at increasing the amount when we move to 2009-10. The rest of the framework would be implemented by government departments. They would have to cost their sections and then implement in that regard for both the policy framework and the UN Convention. We have asked Director General to sign off on their input by the officials and also sign a letter of commitment, because once they sign that letter of commitment, which includes a section on financial implication, it would then commit them to implement this policy, knowing fully well that there are financial implications that they are likely to face when they implement the policy. Let me comment also on the issue of the first economy. Yes, we would like to see persons with disabilities in the first economy. Clearly, we're doing it because the reason we took the direction we took was precisely because the majority of persons with disabilities still need second economy intervention. We would look at two things. One would be the anti-poverty strategy with regards to social security, and secondly, with regards to the growing economy. But we will do the second economic intervention precisely just to ensure that persons with disabilities become part of the mainstream economy, because we're not there yet. So somehow we've got to start somewhere. So this would be our short-term target. In terms of the first economy, that would be our long-term target, where we get the first economy intervention, and also eventually up to that level. In terms of the social security, we would like to see a situation where persons with disabilities do not necessarily depend on the grants. My view is that the grants that people with disabilities receive are still not enough to can sustain them or to provide sustainable livelihood for persons with disabilities, simply because of the expenses that they must incur, things like transport costs, food, and so on. Another needs that people with disabilities have might be medical needs, I think, things like that. So we would need to somehow find a way of ensuring that people who can work are able to work. That people are not necessarily going to depend on the disability grant for the rest of their life. And we know that some people have used the same money to take care of their families, it's something that we are considering. But certainly the issue of stress, because it would be our long-term target. Thank you.
Honourable Members, are there any questions, further questions? Thank you to the OACC for your presentation regarding the State of the Nation address as well as your strategic planning statement. We will be definitely following it up as we go along as the year proceeds. At our recent study group, if you read the legal advisor's letter regarding the National Disability Machinery, you will report to the JMC on the work of the National Disability Machinery. To keep ourselves neutral and regarding our oversight, it is possible for us to send our researcher. We have a researcher that's dedicated to this committee, Kashifa. She's sitting with us in this meeting, and she will be attending then the National Disability Machinery meeting. She would be maybe if there's urgent matters that you need to inform this committee, then you can then inform her what's been happening, and then she would be informing us. Just to keep us up to date on what's been happening. And then at the same time, when you do come to present to the JMT, you also then report to us on the work of the National Disability Machinery. Thank you for your presentation, and I hope that we will definitely see you again throughout the year, and especially with your work in reporting back to us. Thank you for coming to see me.
Thank you very much.
Have you met somebody from the OACC, Kashifa? I just want to introduce you.
My apologies, this meeting is officially closed. I forgot that Friday we had this oversized visit, so yeah. I'm going to go to the next one.